This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Opposition Preview podcast. We've got Dan from That Millwall Podcast on today. Obviously, this episode is sponsored by the Old Zoological Bar in Hull and Kingfisher Fish and Chips. So, Dan, how are you before we get into Millwall season?
Yeah, I'm very good, man. Very good. Weekend's nearly upon us, so can't be much better than that, like a little Thursday night.
Aye, and the 900 weeks of January are finally over. We've actually reached February.
Oh, no, thoughts go out to anyone who did dry January, can actually have a drink tonight. I didn't participate, but if you did, fair play.
I don't think I've ever done dry January.
Why would you want to make it any worse?
Oh, absolutely. So obviously, Millwall had a very good season last season. Doesn't seem to be the case this season. So what were your expectations before the season started, and are you about where you expected to be?
Below where I expected us to be at this point. We are usually a bit stronger in the second half of the season, to be honest, but I still think we are underachieving a little bit. But I have to take into consideration a couple of factors. Firstly, in the summer, we lost our chairman. John Berylson died in a car crash, which was completely unexpected, came out of the blue. So I think that kind of changed the plans over the summer quite drastically. We also changed manager. We did have Gary Rowett, and we're now managed by Joe Edwards, our new head coach. So it's this season. I think at the start of the season, most of us would have liked to have been in and around that playoff pusher game, but I think pretty much every single Millwall fans resigned themselves. This is going to be a transitional season, getting used to Joe Edwards' style of football, and hopefully we just don't get sucked too much into a relegation battle. I'm not too panicked. I think the bottom four teams in the Championship this year are really, really poor, like arguably the worst four we're going to see for a while, to be honest. So I'm actually not too panicked about that at the moment.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you there. I think most of the teams down that probably would have found themselves in a relegation fight this season might just be safe from that this year. But yeah, I had a quick look at Millwall's form. I think it was 3 wins from the last 14. So like you say, you were in around the playoffs last season. You probably expected to be up and around there this season. So And obviously Gary Rowett was sacked, and like you said, he's been replaced. But what went wrong then? So why did Millwall fall from such grace?
I just think with Rowett, he just ran out of road. I don't think there's anything really more to it. I think realistically, he should probably have gone in the summer after what happened in that final game of the season against Blackburn last season, being 3-1 up at half-time, going on to lose 4-3 and not making the playoffs. I think at that point, he probably should have gone. I've had 4 cracks at getting this group of players in the playoffs. We haven't managed to do it. And I think now, to be honest, it's probably the right time for someone else to have a crack, because it's a decent group of players. Maybe he was going to do that. Maybe it was influenced by the chairman passing away that he decided to stay on for a little bit more continuity just to help the club rather than leave us in a really, really tricky state. So if it is due to that, then obviously fair play to him. But fans very quickly this season grew tired of the style of football. I think Rowett's football is known for not being the most entertaining. We weren't scoring goals. Our home form, which was always usually so good, and the Den's always been a place to be feared, it's actually one of the worst home records in the league so far this season. And some of our transfer business in the summer has ended up being a little bit underwhelming. Like Alan Campbell came in, Luton fans gave him really good reviews. He's been absolutely woeful for us. Ryan Longman, who we've got on loan from Hull, he tries hard, but I think I was going to say, I can never fault his work rate and commitment. But I think, to be honest, since he's played for us, he's been played as a right wing back, a right back, a left wing back, a left back, a right midfielder, a left midfielder, a centre attacking midfielder and a striker. So maybe there's a reason why he can't find any consistency. And that might be the reason, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I mean, one of the lads on our podcast, it was a thing where he absolutely loved Longman. And it was, we still don't know if it's ironic. Nathaniel usually does these previews. But when we first signed Ryan Longman on loan from Brighton a few years ago, his first 6 months where he was a great player, really, really good. Like he'd score worldies, he looked skillful, he took his man on, he was direct. And then it kind of all went pear-shaped after we signed him permanently, and he never really recaptured that form. And it was a shame, because he was a young player, and you're thinking, you know, players that young are going to have that inconsistency in the game. He just needed to improve on his final product and do a bit more when he got in and around the box, because he was quite handy at scoring from outside the box, but he didn't really get into the box that often. So, when we sent him out on loan, I mean, at the end of the day, we were choosing to play centre midfielders out wide instead of him, so he really did fall down the pecking order, and his performances did drop a lot, and he wasn't really at the standard of where we've taken this team now, especially with recent signings. He's not ever going to get a look in, so it was interesting to obviously, because I was going to ask for an update on Longman. So do you think that the vast majority of Millwall fans are pretty underwhelmed with the Longman signing? Do you think there's any chance he could go there permanently in the summer? Would you welcome that?
I mean, I hope not. I'm sure he's a lovely bloke. And as I said, he works hard. There's one thing I can never fault with him, and that's his work rate and commitment. And I think that's the big difference we're seeing between Gary Rowett team and a Joe Edwards team. With a Rowett team, it was the players will work hard. You won't have much of the ball. It will be about soaking up the pressure and then hitting them on the counter with plenty of running. But now we're more about trying to have the ball a bit more, trying to play it round a little bit, and Longman just doesn't really fit into that style. As I said, hasn't really had a set position, so maybe in some ways it's not his fault, but I don't think that's going to be one the club are probably going to be looking to turn into a permanent option, at least from our end, to be honest.
Yeah, shame really, because I feel like he made a little subtle dig in one of his interviews. I don't know if it was aimed at Rosini, I would assume it was. Because obviously we play out from the back system now, where he prioritises a short pass rather than, you know, risky passes, that kind of thing. And Longman said something along the lines of, I think it was after he scored. I think he played all right in the first three or four games for Millwall, didn't he? I think he scored and he said something like, yeah, it's okay when obviously I don't have to go pass it backwards or something like that.
As you mentioned, he scores the odd worldie, doesn't he? But he has a shot like that every game, and majority of them end up near the corner flag or in the upper tier. But he's managed to get the one goal so far for us, and to be fair, it was a good goal. It might be our goal of the season so far. But when you take the volume of shots he does from outside the box, a couple are going to go in at some point.
Even in negative Dan, I believe that'll be a more fun. It's funny that, because I'd probably be deemed as a negative one amongst us as well. Longman, obviously not hitting the heights with you guys, but I believe you've had a fairly decent January transfer window. I think signings like Tanganga, I think, caught the eye for me. He's a good signing. Obafemi looks like a shrewd bit of business if he can hit form. Do you think that this month might have set you into a place for a bit of a run now?
Possibly. As I said at the start, we are a little bit of a second half of the season team, so there is a possibility. I think one of the main reasons we may have been able to get players like Tanganga and Obafemi, I think, is maybe because they haven't had much of a run in their teams this season, so they're probably looking for somewhere where they can come and play fairly regular football. Tanganga didn't play a whole game in the first half of the season. I think Obafemi had a couple of substitute appearances, both have had injuries. But I think for a club like us with the budget we've got, I think they're really, really good transfers. We haven't done anything today. I don't think at this stage there is going to be anything happening. It's 7:40 and we haven't been linked to anyone all day, but we signed a young winger from Morecambe yesterday. Adam Mayer is his name. He's really, really highly rated. He actually won the Northwest Young Footballer of the Year awards, beating like players like Rico Lewis to the award. So he's clearly quite a talented player, and he has came in. We haven't sent him back out on loan. He's came in, I think, to be part of the first team squad. He won't be able to play this weekend actually because he's suspended. So he's probably going to fit right in if he's already suspended when he joins Millwall. So, but that again, I think them three signings, I think we've got a little bit more of a pull now having Joe Edwards, given the experience that he has being at Chelsea and the youth setup for such a long time, working with Frank Lampard as well at Everton and in the Chelsea first team squad as well. So I think we have a bit more of a pull there now. So maybe that's why we've been able to attract players like Tanganga and Obafemi. Tanganga actually said as well, we worked with Joe Edwards in the England youth setup. So that was one of his main reasons for coming to Millwall.
Yeah. A quick shout out. Obviously, this is a bit of a test run. I don't think any of us have done this before. It's a new feature where as creators, when we're on the same channel, we can kind of stream to multiple destinations. So obviously this is Hull and Back's Hull City versus Millwall preview, but it is also streaming to that Millwall podcast, couple of Facebook and YouTube pages, I believe, as well. So any Millwall fans watching, you can feel free to comment. I will stick them up on screen as well. Just keep the chat civil. Let's put that.
I'm going to be in for a world of abuse now.
Yeah. So when it comes to January, like you say, you've got the new manager, Joe Edwards. I believe this is his first proper, inverted commas, job. He's been obviously involved in a lot of the, I think, Chelsea and Everton youth, I believe I saw in the England under-20s.
Yeah, under-20s for a little bit as well.
So what style of football is he incorporating? What can we expect to see when you guys come to the MKM on Saturday?
So he tried, I think he'll probably be the first to admit, he probably tried to change the wheel just a little bit too quickly when he came in. He's now trying to blend the defensive stubbornness we had with Rowett, but also try and play out from the back a little bit more. That's not to say that we're going to be the type of team that strings 20 passes between our centre-halves together. We do still want to try and get the ball forwards quickly. But we are definitely, rather than get it from back to front as quickly as possible, we are now trying to play through the lines a little bit more. And you can certainly see the patterns of play developing. I think we have taken big strides since he came in. And I think he won his first game away 4-0 at Sheffield Wednesday, and we all thought we was onto a winner here. And then we had a little bit of a ropey run after that. And then, performances weren't great. And then we've kind of improved. We've picked up a little bit recently. You know, as you said, 3 wins in 14 isn't great, but we're making a lot of strides in terms of performances, I think, which is the main thing. It's kind of what we're trying to achieve this season and suss out who's going to be good for us next season. Because I think in the summer, there's going to be a fair bit of a squad overhaul, to be honest. We're going to try and bring in more players that suit the style of football. So, yeah, we're going to probably be a little bit different from the Millwall that you've probably seen at the MKM in the last few years, I would imagine.
That's okay. I mean, I think I saw that Millwall have committed the most fouls in the Championship this season.
Yeah, so we still like to play quite aggressively.
Yeah, but we're also the most fouled side in the league this season. So maybe anybody watching, if you're better, bet responsibly, maybe put something on a red card at some point.
Probably. He loves a yellow card. So.
George Honeyman goal probably would be we former players always score against us.
Yeah, but just quickly before you move on, I was just going to say, yeah. I didn't actually go to our last game. I was working on Saturday, so I couldn't go. But after the game, I saw a tweet from BBC Radio London Sport and the commentator that did our game, and I think it just kind of summed up where we are perfectly at the moment. It was like the old Millwall aren't there anymore, and the new Millwall hasn't quite arrived yet. And I think that kind of sums up this season pretty perfectly, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I mean, we had similar last season. Obviously, we started the season with Shota Avaladze. He took over from Grant McCann the season before, halfway through. And obviously, with the new ownership, he decided to change things. And we kind of just went hell for leather and had a massive summer transfer window. I mean, we've just had a massive January transfer window. But last summer was crazy. I think we brought in like 20-odd players. And the style of play was meant to be on the front foot, attractive, you know, lots of goals, entertain the fans kind of thing. That's the new owner's whole ethos. And we had far too many injuries to our attacking players to a point that we had to actually just say, no, we've got to stop putting goals in, because we had the worst defence in the league under Avaladze, and then changed to the fifth best defensive side under Rosinha. So it was a really good change. But like you say, the style of play when Rosinha first came in, and the wanting to play out from the back, the risk taking when the back four and the goalkeeper especially is trying to do these passes, it can be a bit nerve-wracking as a fan.
Yeah, massively.
A lot of fans in the crowd as well. I don't know if you've experienced this yet, where people sometimes actually aren't happy about the sideways passes around the back and the shouts of the gate forward, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's got to a point now where obviously we're like a year and a few months into Rosinha's reign now, where that style of play is really imprinted in and the players seem to get it. We do still concede the odd sloppy pass at the back, but that, I always say, isn't the system's fault. It was the player's decision making or just, you know, not putting enough on the pass. It's the player themselves that makes that error. If they did the system's perfection, it really wouldn't concede. So, but I mean, it is interesting, like you say, just be a bit patient maybe with the style of play and you'll see a bit more for it, because it's hard to, I mean, Burnley did it fast. That's probably a good example to use, because Burnley went from Sean Dyche 4-4-2 to Vincent Kompany's high press possession based. They had 60-70% possession every game, didn't they?
Yeah.
Do you think if results weren't to pick up, let's say this similar form continues from now to the end of the season, do you still think your owners would back your manager into next season, or do you think you'd be looking elsewhere?
As long as we don't get dragged into that relegation battle, I think we're generally tend to be pretty loyal with our managers. That's one thing that Millwall have often been praised for, the loyalty to the man. Well, at least we were under our former chairman, and our new chairman's his son, so I'm assuming we're going to follow in a similar kind of fashion. So yeah, unless we're in 2 months' time, unless we are like right in that relegation dogfight with them bottom four teams, I do think that this has certainly been a appointment for the long term. So we are going to be looking to back Edwards. I think he probably would have came in with some reassurances over the budget as well. I don't think we're close to breaching any FFP. And I think there probably will be a couple of sales of players in the summer. So potentially someone like Zian Fleming, who we had bids for last summer, hasn't quite hit the heights this season. But based on his track record, I think there's still the capability there to get a decent fee for him that could be reinvested into a couple of players if we do our scouting properly. So yeah, I think we are more than likely going to absolutely do our best to stick with Edwards. But as I said, if it gets to like this stage in 2 months and we're in that relegation dogfight, I think if he hasn't got a club by then, you have to pick up the phone to Neil Warnock.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, there's quite a few good managers still without a job. I mean, there's John Eustace still knocking about somewhere as well, and
yeah,
I mean, how he lost his job at Birmingham was crazy in the first place, but that's a whole entirely different thing. Yes, I do agree with this comment. Refs have been absolutely dreadful this season. I mean, that again, we could put a whole episode on the ineptitude of the officials at this level. But yeah, so let's get, so what's the Millwall perspective on us this season then? So obviously I feel like we're a completely different animal to what we were that last season. I feel like when the season started, you know, we weren't really in anybody's thoughts for maybe a top six push, but especially given the last transfer window that's closing pretty soon, we've probably jumped up in people's estimation. So what kind of game are you expecting when you come?
I'm expecting a tough game. I think, well, last season we lost 1-0 up at the MKM. I didn't go to that one, but it was one in our running where we just hit terrible form at completely the wrong time last season, which helped to derail our playoff push. But I know that was a difficult game. Am I right in saying Seri won't be back for the weekends?
No. Yeah, he's in the quarterfinals. So, yeah.
At least that's one bonus at least. But then if you've got Zaruri coming in, which I'm led to believe, I don't know if it's been announced, but I've certainly read on social media, but it seems like a done deal. Obviously, Cavalio is someone who scares me a lot, given how well he did when he played in this league for Fulham a couple of seasons ago, and he's now gone away, played with Liverpool, played with RB Leipzig, so you can only imagine he's developed a little bit more. Philogene had an absolute worldie at the Den, and then you've also got the other Adama Traore as well. So
He's also at AFCON.
Oh, is he also at AFCON? Okay, interesting. So, presumably, would it be Regan Slater in the midfield?
It'll be Slater and Morton, yeah.
I mean, that's still pretty good defensive. That's still pretty good, decent midfield partnership, to be honest. So,
picture the scene. All of your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
I was starting to get a little bit confident there for a minute, and then you just pulled out them two names. So, yeah, I think Connor said it there. It's a very, very good transfer window, to be honest. I think it has kind of taken a lot of people by surprise. But in the Championship, if you get these chances where the league's so tight and you're in with a chance, I do think you've got to go for it. I think maybe that was part of our undoing last season. In January last season, we only signed two players, both right at the end of the window, and both weren't our first choice targets in Ollie Burke and Duncan Watmore. And both, I think, failed to flatter to the sea, to be honest. I think we saw flashes from both of them, but nowhere near what we needed to be able to sustain the playoff push second half of the season. So, yeah, I don't think many Millwall fans or potentially many other Championship fans will disagree with me saying Hull have probably had the best January window on paper. Just about how it translates to on the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's probably. I mean, we kind of sit and we see. I mean, we had a few torrid years under the Alams towards the end, and it's nice to see. You know, we've got capacity crowds back in the stadium again, 20,000 plus every week, pretty much. Away crowds, I think we've just sold out at Rotherham. It's looking like we're going to sell out at Huddersfield. You know, we've got some phenomenal talent that. A club like Hull City, you're just as a fan and you're thinking we shouldn't be signing these players. I mean, it's testament really to the owner who's just, he's so charismatic, he's so ambitious, he knows full well what he wants to do. He's back in Rosinia, who's one of the most young and brightest managers that's coming up. He's got an ideology that the fans can get behind. He's got a connection to the city. It just all seems to be, not to make anybody watching this a little bit jealous. But it just all seems to be going, everyone's pulling in the same direction, and the trajectory, you know, when you're looking at a club and you know, from an outside perspective or a neutral perspective, maybe you look at them and go, I feel like they're either stagnating or they're going backwards. But I feel like if people would look at us, they're going, they're only heading in one direction at the minute. But like you say, it's getting these signings now to bed in and match fitness. Cause I mean, right, our big issue has been that we've not really had a natural left back all season. Cause we signed Ruben Vinagre last summer. In the summer, and he's just been an absolute sick note all season, which is probably what we should have expected with his injury record. And we've now brought in Ryan Giles. So it's kind of like... So, you know, he got 11 assists last season. So in terms of offensive fullback, you know, we've added another creator onto the pitch. Like you say, you've got Seri still to come back. We've got Philogene, and Cavallio, and Zarori potentially is the front three behind, you know, and Aaron Connolly or the new signing Ohio. I mean, Delap is a huge miss because he's been phenomenal, but he's out for 3 months.
He was one that we always seemed to get linked to and never got. But at the start of the season, he had kind of had two underwhelming loan spells in the Championship last season. Mm. So when he went to Hull at the start of this season, I was like, he was underwhelming last season. But whenever I've watched him this season, he's been really, really good. And he's added a few more goals to his game as well. So, yeah, I'm quite glad he's going to be missing the game. But another one as well, like when Scott Twine got recalled, I was like, oh, well, like that could be quite fatal, to be honest, for a team's playoff push. And then you go and replace him with a player Cavalier. That's so much better. Yeah, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, the Scott Twine one was bizarre because we tried to get him at the beginning of last season, and he ended up choosing Burnley instead, which, you know, they probably offered him high wages. You can't blame him. He then got quite a long-term injury. I think he was out for a few months and he missed the majority of the season. Didn't make his first few Burnley appearances till they'd pretty much already won it towards the end. And when he came to us on loan, it was kind of like, oh, he wants to come here now. You know, he said he really liked the plan, the what the manager was doing, everything like that. And he came with so much hype and he was just underwhelming. Sometimes it happens. I mean, we did play him out of position quite often, and I think that's probably what Burnley ended up saying, that that's why they recalled him, because of injury. I mean, he's definitely naturally a number 10, but we kept having to play him out on the left because, you know, Philogene got a long-term injury just after you guys. It was QPR not long after you guys. He got out for a few weeks. And yeah, I mean, I can understand it. He's going to go to Bristol and play in his favoured position, and we've freed up a loan spot and brought in Fabio Cavalier. So at the end of the day,
the winners there, aren't you?
Yeah, so. I'm not too disappointed.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Millwall squad, what give me two or three players that we should be looking out for. Who's your key dangers?
I'll say Brooke Norton Cuffey on the right. He's on loan to us from Arsenal. Had a bit of time last season with Rotherham and Coventry, but he's developed quite a lot this season. Again, another one who's really benefited from Joe Edwards coming in. So yeah, I think he's going to go on to have a really good career, but he's got plenty of pace and he's a really direct dribbler, which is something we quite often miss. So I think he's definitely someone to watch. I've got to pick Zian Fleming. He did score at the weekend. He has a habit of scoring against Preston. I think he scored six goals in four games against them. So if we play Preston every week, we'd probably win the league. and he'd probably win the Ballon d'Or. So I'll probably pick him. And then I'll go for Casper Denor in centre mid. I'm hoping he's going to make a comeback to the team this weekend because he's been out for a long-term injury and he's just getting back to fitness. I think probably now he's had a couple of minutes off the bench in the last few games. So I think they're probably going to look to get him back into the start 11. But I do think he's our best midfielder when we get on the ball in terms of someone who can get the ball from the defence and get us moving forwards. I think I might be overemphasising how good he is here, but I do think he is up there actually one of the better midfielders in the league. He's got pedigree in the Champions League as well, which kind of speaks volumes about how good he is. So yeah, I think they're probably the three main players I would say for Millwall.
All right, okay. I mean, the Denar one is interesting because I have seen people mention him, but he's one of those that doesn't really get clipped online or you see people talking about him, which I think fans prefer under the radar, kind of. You don't want other teams sniffing around how good he is. I mean, we've gone from under the radar pre-December to absolutely in the spotlight now. So our season's changed a bit. So Millwall's, I mean, we've already touched on like Joe Edwards' style of play and everything like that. So do you think, because our problem is we really struggle when a team sort of sits deep. If you sit deep and limit space, especially in the middle, we really struggle to break teams down. I mean, most teams do, but we seem to, especially we just seem to lack that end product, that final ball. It tends to just sort of wither away a bit. We prefer it when teams come onto us and then, you know, trying to attack us, exploit the space on the counter attack. That's where we're best. Which version of Millwall do you think we're going to see?
I do think when we don't have the ball, we will sit in at times. I think it might be a similar kind of performance that we've been away against Bristol City, and we did get a 1-0 win that day with a late goal. I think it's going to be a similar kind of performance to one like that. But then when we do get the ball, we do try and attack in numbers and we do play the ball around a little bit. So I think when we don't have the ball, we're definitely going to be sitting in, trying to keep it tight, trying to keep it compact. But I do think then when we get the ball, we will try and move it quickly, try and be expansive. I do like Giles, but like, whenever I've watched him, I do think for a defender particularly, I don't think he's massively switched on. And I think playing in Luton's system, he got found out a little bit. Playing in Borough's system last season was fine. And I do think your style of football is a lot more similar to the Borough system last season than it was the Luton style. But maybe that might be something we're looking to exploit, given how high he's likely to play up the pitch.
Yeah, no, that's a valid point because a lot of the Middlesbrough fans have said the same, that, you know, absolutely fantastic going forwards, but maybe a bit vulnerable defensively. I mean, the system that Rosini has tried to incorporate when we've played this season, we tend to push one or if not both of the fullbacks as high up the pitch as we possibly can. And then obviously one of the midfielders sitting deep and the other fullback dropping in and making it essentially a back three. So I think the plan probably will be, given the signings we made, that Coyle would probably drop and sit alongside Jones and Greaves and let Giles push on and contribute at the right end of the pitch where I don't think Rosini is looking for a left back who defends. He was looking for a bit of creativity and another spark, because we were missing, like I said, that end product, and he hopefully gives us that. Because he'll be playing on the same side as Philogene, I would imagine. So it's a bit of a monstrous left hand side.
Quite a lively combination, that, yeah.
Yeah. Whoever your right back's in is for a busy day. I'll quickly touch on George Honeyman, because I feel like some City fans watching this that might be a bit mad if I didn't, because he was a really good player here. A key part of us getting the League One title. You know, one of our best players, easily in the Championship as well. And then when he, after the takeover, he left for you guys not soon after. How has he been for you since? I get the feeling that he's been a bit underwhelming.
A little bit. I think in the last few games, we've seen a bit more of the best of him, because he's probably been played in his best position, which I do think his best position is in. We generally play a 4-2-3-1. I think his best position is just in front of the defence in that two. Yeah. But quite often for us, he's been played as a winger. When we played like a 5-3-2 of an attacking midfielder under Rowett, he would often play as the attacking midfielder. But I do think in the defensive midfield in a 4-2-3-1, that seems to have been his best position so far. So I think recently we've seen the best of him. But in a way, a bit like Longman, I feel like the reason we haven't seen the best of him is just because of the lack of consistency.
Square pegs in round holes.
Square pegs in round holes, yeah. But I do think he's a really good player. And I think he is a little bit of a fan favourite just because of his tenacity and doesn't hold back and stuff like that. I think Hull fans can relate to that. He's definitely not one to shirk a challenge, is he?
No, definitely not. I mean, he's definitely, I think for me, he's a box-to-box midfielder. Like you say, he's better when he sits deep. And then when you've got the ball, he pushes on and tries to contribute in attack. But it's his delivery as well. His set pieces and everything. I think he got 14 assists in League One for us with set pieces. And it's no coincidence that when he left, our set piece goals dropped. I mean, we've got signed Scott Twine, who was apparently a set piece specialist. He really wasn't. It hasn't really picked up. So it's been interesting seeing, obviously, Honeyman at Millwall, because, like I said, when I have seen him play, he's been on the right wing or something like that, and I don't think he has the pace for something like a winger role.
He's played that. Rowett tried to make him into a wing back when Rowett wanted to play a five at the back at the start of the season as well. But, he got injured in the first game of pre-season, so we never really saw him that much. So,
Roman Esse is, I believe, who he's meaning there. We was actually rumoured to be in for him on deadline. Don't think that ever really amounted to anything.
Yeah.
Interesting. I remember him coming on against us before. He's a young, excited player, isn't he?
Yeah, he's been playing really well in the England youth setups. He's shown flashes in the first team. Rowett seemed to favour him more than Edwards, which I think is interesting considering Edwards' experience working with youth players, that he's struggled a bit more for game time. There was talk of him going out on loan, but the journalist that we get a lot of our information off said that the club don't feel any suitable loan offers have been made. So I think there probably was interest, but they're clearly happy to keep him in and around the squad. I do think that's probably quite a good decision. I do feel like we've seen flashes. He scored the winning goal away at Middlesbrough, and we can see quite a lot of the time that he does when he what he can do when he comes on. But I do think his best position, he's going to naturally find himself playing as a number 10 rather than a winger. And at the moment, it is quite hard to dislodge Zian Fleming, even though he hasn't quite been as good as he can be this season. He's quite hard to dislodge him. He is still generally the main man that we go to quite a lot of the time. But I think he's a top player, and I do think he will go on to have a very, very good career. Whether he'll start at the weekend, I don't know. He got 45 minutes off the bench against Preston because of Longman's injury. And Longman wouldn't have been able to play this weekend anyway. So there's every chance he could get some more game time, I reckon.
Yeah. Probably. I mean, I imagine Alan Campbell's not brilliant from the comment.
No, very much one of those that's flat to the sea. He's on loan with us from Luton, and Luton fans really hyped him up. We thought we've got a really good sign, and he's been woeful, to be completely honest. He's ended up now as about our fifth choice centre midfielder and taken up a loan spot, which, as you know, are quite valuable, to be honest. We could do a winger to go into that loan slot, and that would take away all of George Honeyman's winger responsibilities, even though they've been reduced. He's unfortunately, we're 3 hours away from the deadline. There was a little bit of talk around lunchtime that he might go, but nothing's came of it since, unless something's just happened at 8 o'clock when I haven't checked my phone. I'm gonna
could be a welcome surprise when you come off.
Yeah, so no, I'm gonna imagine that he's gonna be with us the rest of the season.
So probably about as much as you guys want Longman, then is the answer to that one.
Yeah.
Saturday, are you going to the game?
I'm not. No, I went on a night out at the start of January, and the money I put aside for the train, I spent all of it instead. So
it's fair.
I feel like it might be a wise decision come 5 p.m. Saturday, though, to
be honest. Okay, then. So I guess the only thing left is for score predictions. And by the sounds of it, you don't sound very confident. So
no, I'm not, just based on the pedigree of the players that you've bought in, to be completely honest. As I said, we're still in that transitional phase. I mean, I'd be absolutely delighted with a point, and because I have the reputation of being negative, I'm gonna say we will get a point. When we played Hull earlier in the season at the Den, it was a kind of a weird game because we were really good for 15 minutes, and then you was really good for the rest of the first half, and then second half we absolutely dominated.
Yeah.
It was a weird kind of game, and I felt one of the few games where I felt unlucky that we didn't get the 3 points earlier this season, actually. So maybe I'm going to go for a draw, and maybe some kind of similar pattern. I'm going to go for another 1-1, back-to-back 1-1s for us. I think you guys might take the lead, but then I think we might get a set piece goal or something like that. We haven't scored from a set piece for a while now, so it might be time.
To be fair, 1-1 is probably it's one of the safest bets in a game regarding us, especially in the last 2 years. 1-1's probably been the most seen result. But in saying that, we do tend to go 1-0 down and then bring it back. I think we've got the second most points from losing positions this season. There was a running joke at the beginning of the season, especially when we were struggling to win at home, where every game was just a copy and paste. It was, we'd start the game really slowly. You know, we didn't really sort of force the issue whatsoever. A lot of possession, did nothing with it. And then we'd concede a really soft goal. And then second half would come out a completely different team, bring it back and draw or win.
We tend to start games quite quickly, actually. We tend to try and fly out the blocks a little bit, but the only problem is our players don't really have the fitness to be able to maintain that kind of style of play for much more than kind of about 20, 25 minutes. So that's when we generally tend to get picked off. I think that's probably what happened actually in the first half at the Den earlier this season.
So going on that then, I'm going to probably think that maybe with some new signings added in there and not much understanding between the players, that we might start quite slowly. Millwall will go for it, a bit of smash and grab. But I think I'm going to go 2-1 us, but with Millwall taking the lead and us bringing it back in the second half. Bit of a reverse for the Den, but obviously with a win instead of a draw. But yeah, no, thanks for coming on, Dan. Yeah, it's been a really nice chat here about Millwall season and everything that's going on, and hope that Longman gets better for you after our game, because obviously you can't play.
He just dislocated his shoulder, because apparently our players do WWE in training, so it's the second dislocated shoulder we've had in a month in training, so...
We've got a cheeky 2-0 from Tigers on top there. Yeah, I mean, with Longman, it's... Like we said earlier, he was a frustrating player, but there's potential there. So, I mean, his best performances for us came when he was a wing back. Definitely, we played him and Keane Lewis Potter as a wing backs in a 3-5-2.
His best performance. He's had two standout games for us. One of them was against Rotherham, which I don't think that's really worth shouting about, to be completely honest. He played left wing back that day, and then he had a good game against Middlesbrough the other week when we played on the right hand side for about an hour, right midfield, and I thought he had a really good game. And then he switched to the left and just looked completely lost.
I've always said he looks better on his natural side.
Yeah,
right foot, right side. He gets to the byline and crosses.
He always looks a bit lost. So,
yeah. Right. Anyways, yeah. So, cheers for coming on. So, it was a 1-1 prediction from you, a 2-1 prediction from me. So the game's on Saturday. Cheers for joining us. Remember, this is the To Hull and Back podcast. So, all the Millwall fans watching, this was our episode. If you're wondering why there's tiger stripes in the background and everything like that, it was a little test thing with that Millwall podcast. It's obviously streaming out to their destinations too. But cheers for everybody that has been watching and commenting along, especially Millwall fans. Nice of you to be very nice to me. I was expecting maybe a bit more abuse than I got, so it's been okay. And cheers again for joining, Dan, and we will see you next time on the for hopefully a positive result to talk about on Sunday for the regular episode. See you later, everybody.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year.
Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club. Because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.